It's awesome to be with you this morning, and I take it as a great honor that Mark and Jennifer wouldn't be here when I'm going to be ministering. Before we came out to the States from South Africa, I ministered in one of our campuses, which I hadn't visited for a while, and after that we had three people resign. I trust that you'll enjoy the message and receive and be blessed. We don't have to try and be offensive, right? Because the gospel is offensive. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Shane Holsgrove, and my wife is back in the kids. Oh, there she is. She was with the kids this morning in the kids' ministry. And we'll just straighten it up and say that the kids really enjoyed kids' church last week and this week. They're enjoying it. For those of you here last week and catch that, they really did. They just obviously need mom around or one of us around just to be able to feel a bit more secure because we haven't been home for now over a month. And the Lord's really just spoke to us at the beginning of last year and said, you know, come out and spend basically 3 months on a bit of a sabbatical, meaning away from our current responsibilities and stuff, just to refresh and hear from God and spend some time with you guys. So we're here for a whole month. And so far, it's been awesome. If we can stay with your pastors, we've been over with them for just over a week now. We've been living in their house with them. And I can tell you with all confidence that they're awesome. You guys have an awesome leaders in Mark and Jennifer. So just in case you were wondering, I thought I would let you know that. Amen? Before we get into what I want to share on this morning, I'm continuing on. I'm not perfecting. I'm just continuing on from what Mark started last week. And he's been speaking on a series entitled Myths and Misconceptions. And last week he spoke a bit about the sovereignty of God. So I really just asked him if I could continue on with that because that's something which really impacted my life. But before we do that, I really just felt this in worship from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to share it with you. What verse is this? Verse 20. It says, "For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in Him. And His yes is our amen ascend to God, we bring Him glory." And the thing that just kept ringing in my heart during worship was that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises of God. Jesus is the fulfillment. And I know that there would be, I just fell in my heart, there'd be a number of people this morning who are waiting for the fulfillment of a promise, waiting for the manifestation of a promise. And I just want to encourage you, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. It's been fulfilled. It's finished. And so now you might still be waiting to see it manifest, but I want to encourage you that it's already been provided for. Amen? And so I really found that encouraging for myself. That's a good word. So Father, I want to thank you that as we get into the word this morning, that it's just going to encourage us, it's going to revitalize us, it's going to bless us, it's going to enable us really just to be encouraged, inspired, and to grow and mature in you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here right now. We're not trying to convince you to come. We don't have to beg you to come. You're here. The first person that walked into this place this morning brought you with them. You're here right now, and you're ministering to each one of us. I just want to encourage you with your eyes closed right now. Just acknowledge the presence of God that's here. You might not feel it, but it's here. He is here, and He's ministering to your heart. Father, we just push down every barrier that we may have in our hearts, every resistance. We just humble ourselves and submit that. We just humble ourselves to receive from you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 34 verse 8. I'm going to start off in Psalm 34 verse 8. And it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." So, that's saying that God is good, right? It's not saying that He does good. He does do good. He does good. Okay, God does good. But it's saying taste and see that He is good. That is the essence of who God is. Amen? So if God is good, that means He's equal to good. You can't take good away from God and be left with God. Okay, if you take good away from God, if you do the math, you're left with zero. The word math. It's just an O. Because there's two O's in God and good and one O in God, right? So what I'm trying to show you is that you can't encounter God without encountering His goodness. And a lot of people are scared of God and experiencing God because they feel like, you know, maybe He'll zap them because there's something wrong with, you know, zap as in a lightning bolt from heaven. They'll zap them, they end up a pile of ash because they know themselves, there's something wrong that they've done, and so they're judging themselves according to the flesh and not the Spirit. And so they're expecting a negative experience with God when whenever we come into contact with God, we come into contact with good. Okay? But, and I mean, this is important that, you know, if you don't have a correct understanding of who God is, if you don't have a correct understanding of how things operate, you're not going to experience Him as He wants you to experience Him. Because you're always going to be experiencing it through a filter, through glasses. So if we all had different sunglasses on and we were looking at the color of the chairs, that the filter of the glasses would kind of make a different color for everyone. Some of us might have similar colors, you know, see similar colors, but we would all see different shades of whatever color we're looking at, right? And that is how it works with God as well. It's like if you have wrong information about Him, when you encounter Him, you're going to misinterpret Him. When you see something, you're going to, we start judging our circumstances according to our experience, which is wrong. We start judging God according to our circumstances and experience. We start looking at things and going, well, this is what it must mean because this is, you know, what I experienced. And, you know, we need to allow the Word of God to get in the way of what we believe. Even if your circumstance is saying something and you've got a testimony about something, if that testimony and that experience counters the Word of God, it's wrong. So, I mean, testimonies are great, they're encouraging and all of that, but you can't live off of testimonies. You can only live off the Word of God. And so we need to get into the Word to understand what is truth so that we can experience the goodness of God. Okay? So, you know, when we deal with sovereignty, a lot of people start to really get upset. And I want to encourage you just to open up your heart, especially if this is something which... you're not used to, because, you know, when I first got challenged with this topic, I was upset. I remember, you know, I got a teaching in the mail on it, and I was listening to it, and I was like, this is of the devil. And I dismissed it straight away, and then I was like, but, you know what, I've gotten good teaching out of this ministry for so long, so let me just check it out again. I listened to it again, I was like, this is so wrong. I listened to it again, and then I was like, well, there's a lot of scripture in there. Let me write it down. So I wrote down all the scriptures, and I studied it out for myself. And like after listening to it about four or five times, I had to come to the conclusion that I was wrong and that what I had grown up believing was wrong, that what I had been taught was wrong, and that I had to change. And I was miserable. For about 3 months, I was completely miserable because everything I believed about a whole bunch of things went out the window. You know, what I believed about prayer, what I believed about healing, what I believed about just God's will in general, all of it kind of came to a close, and I was like, I've got to change what I believe. Because, you know, a few months before that, this was about 2003, but a few months before that, I remember I was leading a young adults group in our church, and I remember someone was sick, so, you know, we pray for them. You know, if anyone want prayer, prayer request, the guy got in the middle of the circle, and we all just came around him and prayed for him. And I remember praying, you know, Father, if it's your will, then we just pray healing on this guy. And if it's not your will, then... And I just started talking myself in a circle in prayer, going, God, I don't know what you want to do with this guy. So just do whatever you want to do with him, because I have no idea what to pray right now. I don't know if you want him well or if you want him sick. So just leave him, Lord. Like, do what you want to do. Why was I praying like that? Because I didn't understand the Word properly. Amen. I wasn't established in truth properly. Amen. Okay? I thought God was in control of everything. I remember teaching on this in back home a couple of years back. And, you know, I had someone who's been a missionary for years in the Amazon and all over the place. He was in the service. And he came up to me afterwards and tried to correct me on the way I was saying things. Yeah, I really enjoyed your message, but we can't say that God's not in control because people will freak out. So let me just quickly say, God is in control. He's above all and he's supreme in the sense that he is the king. But he's not in control of every detail of your life. Okay? And so I said, but that's what I meant. I told him. I said, but I did mean that. He was like, no, I know you didn't mean that. This is what you should say, you know. God doesn't cause everything, but he allows everything. I was like, no, he doesn't. And the guy was like, well, you know, he realized he wasn't getting anywhere, so he decided to email me an 8-page email, rather, to try and communicate to me how I should communicate. Anyway, so I'm aware. I mean, I was upset when I was confronted with this doctrine, when I was confronted with this truth. And I've seen other people get confronted with it and get angry, so I wouldn't be surprised if someone's angry this morning. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I know that some of you guys have guns with you. I've heard that won't happen back home, but you can just keep it to yourself. Amen? Anyway, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Let's have a look at this verse. I just want to share a couple verses before I kind of just go on from what Pastor Mark was sharing. But this says, for if by the one man's offense death reigns through the one, who's that talking about? Adam. Much more. Everyone say much more. Much more. Those who receive. Everyone say receive.
Receive.
The abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So this is saying Adam is the one who messed it up. It's not saying God did. Okay, number one. Number two, I got you to say receive because grace has to be received. It's not automatic. God's will is that we all reign in life through Jesus Christ. But it doesn't happen automatically. Why? Because it's got to be received. Not all are righteous. Why? Because it's got to get received. You've got to receive that gift. Okay, Titus 2:11, the grace of God that leads to salvation has appeared to all men. But that doesn't mean all men are saved. It just means God has given the gift, extended the gift to everyone. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it's got to be received because by grace through faith we are saved. Okay, so we're saved by grace through faith. Not just God's grace, his gift, but our believing in what he's done for us, what he's freely offering us. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you just read the Bible, you can clearly see God's not in control. Read through Acts. Go read through Acts. There are so many examples of God not being in control of everything. It's amazing. That if you confess with your mouth, not God's mouth, and he doesn't confess for you, the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you don't confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will not be saved. Even though the grace of God has appeared to all men, and God's will is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So this just shows us again and again and again that God is offering and man needs to respond. God is offering, he's giving a gift, and we've got to receive it. Okay, why do bad things happen? Well, we live in a bad world. You know, I remember teaching back home, I taught on God is a good God. It was a very simplistic message, and I was kind of unimpressed with how simple it was. And I was teaching on just the fact that God is a good God. John 10:10, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows. Amplified kind of translation with a bit of a twist. And so if you look at it, it's like Jesus came to give abundant life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy. So steal, kill, destroy is not God. Giving abundant life is God, is Jesus. And so we've got to kind of see what God does and what the enemy does. And I was teaching on this, and I said, you know, I've got to translate in my head. You've got, you guys call it a water boiler in the roof, right? Or wherever it is to make your water hot for your showers and stuff. Hot water heater. Okay. We call it a geyser. It's not an old person. It's a tank where your water gets heated up. Okay. So I used the example and I said, if your geyser bursts. Okay, let me translate it. Otherwise, I'm going to lose you. if your hot water heater bursts, which I know has happened to a couple people, you know, if that happens, like, was it the devil? No. That thing wasn't created to last forever. Don't blame the devil. Like, he's got nothing to do with it. He's just enjoying the fact that you're miserable because something wore out. Your car stops working. I doubt the devil can do that. He can make you angry about it, but he can't. He's not the mastermind behind everything. He's not that clever. Amen. He's got a lot of experience, more than us, but he's not that bright. Now I want to go and teach on that. I love teaching on that, but let's get back to the point. So I was teaching on the fact that, you know, even if your geyser, your hot water heater, even if that bursts and it breaks and you have a problem, God is still a good God. And he didn't cause it. He didn't even allow it to happen. It just happened because we live in a fallen world and things don't last forever. Someone imperfect made something that couldn't be perfect. And then what happened? Well, God is still good, so he can provide you with a good plumber. He can sort out the insurance so that everything just works out. You know that after the service, I didn't realize how supernatural that example was. After the service, I had someone come up to me and said, "It's so funny that you use that example because our geyser just broke. It happened exactly like that to us." And now I realize I can't blame the devil. I'm not upset with God, but I know he'll provide a good plumber for me. And I was like, awesome, that's great. Then she went off and had coffee and someone else came up to me and said, "It's so funny that you use that example. I'm a plumber." And I was just so encouraged that I can trust God for more work, actually. And I was like, just hold on a sec. I need to introduce you to someone. And I got them together. But the point is God is a good God, and no matter how bad things get, he can turn it for good. Amen. For your good and for his glory. Amen? So one of the myths, now this is where I really wanted to go this morning. One of the myths that stem from a faulty view of the sovereignty of God. I've heard this a lot growing up. I grew up in church, so I've heard this a lot, and I'd be interested to know how many of you have heard this. But it is a faulty view of sovereignty leads to the excuse that we often use. God's still working on me. How many of you have heard that one? God's still working on me. So we use that as an excuse when we're morons. And other people are upset with us, so we're just like, I apologize, the Lord's still working on me. And we encourage ourselves that God's still working on me, so it's okay. I'm not perfect. I'm getting there. God's still working on me. Are you with me? You know, what we've effectively done is blame shifted and blame God for the mess we are. I hope I'm not saying it too strong for you. Yeah, so we kind of get to this place of, you know what, I'm not perfect, God's still working on me. If you don't like me, it's his fault. This is just the way he made me, we even say. It's my personality. Well, change your personality. God didn't create you to be offensive. He didn't create you to be rude. You can change. I don't even know if I want to go down this road and say, you know, so if you don't like it, I never said it. What I'm about to say, that is. God can't change you. Only you can change you. He's done his part. You need to do yours now. So let's get into it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 from the King James Version first. We are his workmanship, created, past tense, in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has, past tense, before ordained that we should walk in them. He's already done with you. He's done his part in you. He's created you. You are his workmanship, meaning his masterpiece. He's done. Your spirit is perfect. Yes, your emotions might be a mess. And yes, in your actions and in your body, there might be a few issues. But the point is that he's done with you. He's placed every spiritual blessing in your spirit. You are power-packed and fully loaded. You've got everything you need for life and for godliness in your spirit, inside you. Now, often we look at that and we go, well, that's in the spirit. Ephesians 1:3, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's a spiritual thing, and one day I'll experience that. But right now I'm in the natural, I'm not in the spiritual. So I can't claim that I've got all spiritual blessings because I can see the lack that I've got. Well, let me just kind of clear that up for you quickly and say that God, the spirit is more real, the spiritual realm, than the physical that we're experiencing right now. God is a spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit. We know by faith that the spirit spoke and created the world. So the spiritual became, created something tangible through words. And so you can take what's in the spiritual and in your spirit and release it into the physical by your words. Let's move along. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 from the Passion, it says, we have become His poetry. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given to each of us. This is a great point to make. God's not going to fulfill your destiny for you. You have to do it. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Meaning, you fulfill your destiny or you don't. How many of you want to fulfill your destiny? Amen. It's not God's responsibility, it's our responsibility to fulfill our destiny. Colossians 2 verse 10, the Passion Translation puts it like this. And our own completeness is now found in Him. Or we are complete in Christ, right? Yes. So you can't say you're not perfect. In the physical, maybe you're not perfect. Not as perfect as I am. We're not perfect maybe in the... You shouldn't laugh so loud, love. We're not physically perfect, emotionally perfect maybe, but spiritually we're 100% like Jesus. Amen. Now we've got to... work out that salvation that is in us, out of us. Work out your salvation. The salvation that you've received and you've got, work it out. Don't try and figure it out. Just release it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, and our own completeness is now found in Him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. So you're full of Him. You're full of Him. Now you've got to let Him out. The problem is most believers have done a good job of shutting Him down, keeping Him hidden, and not releasing what is inside of us. But you're power-packed and fully loaded. You've got to let some of God out of you. And you know, the more you give, the more you let out, you don't become empty and need more.
That's right.
It just keeps flowing and just keeps flowing and just keeps flowing. You'll never run dry.
Yeah.
So what I'm wanting to show you, though, is that your maturity and fulfilling your destiny is your responsibility. It's not God's. So change in your life doesn't come from you crying out to God, God, please change me. Change in your life doesn't come, you might have a testimony about that, but I'm sure that the testimony has got some holes in it if we were to talk. Because change doesn't come from you crying out to God, it comes from you seeking God, it comes from you opening up your heart to God, but the major way that change comes is from Romans chapter 12 verse 2, changing your way of thinking. And then transformation starts to occur when you start to think differently, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you want your so is he to change, you've got to change the way you're thinking. If you don't change the way you're thinking, your so is he is not going to change. Okay, so God isn't the one holding you back from maturity. You are. I'm not condemning anyone this morning. This isn't condemnation. This is liberation. Because if you realize you're the problem, you can change. But if you think God's the problem, you've got a bigger problem. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I love this one. Faithful is He that calls you, who will also do it. It's a fridge magnet scripture, isn't it? Something that we love to kind of encourage each other with. Don't worry. Faithful is He, and He'll also do it. We misuse that scripture all the time, and we use it as an excuse for our failure and lack. We comfort each other with it, and it just breeds passivity, really. I'll get onto this scripture in a moment, but Moses did the same thing. He says to the Israelites, they're facing the Red Sea, "Don't worry, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And we quote Moses. Can I say that again? We quote Moses to each other and encourage each other with Moses, Mr. Lawman. We encourage each other with stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, what he's going to accomplish for you. But if you read the rest of the story, what happens? Moses turns to God and says, "Oh God, help." God says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? You stretch out your hand over the sea, your rod, and you part the waters." So it's saying, hey, you've got a responsibility. God doesn't part the waters. It's his power, yes, but you release it. You've got the answer to your challenge and your problem right now inside of you. It's called being full of the fullness of God. Okay, so we love this scripture. Faithful is he that calls you who will also do it. Okay, God is faithful. Amen. He's not going to do it. What is this even talking about? Let's look at it. Look at the whole scripture there. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Verse 23. "And I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, and he will also do it." So in context, this is meaning something completely different to what most of us mean when we read it and quote it. This is talking about, hey, it's not talking about your destiny. It's not talking about fulfilling the promises of God. It's talking about how he is going to keep you saved until the day. He's maintaining your salvation. You don't have to. He's got you, spirit, soul, and body, and he's preserving you blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We just have to put things in context. Amen? So another myth that Christians believe and we have an incorrect is because we have an incorrect understanding of sovereignty is that if God wants your church to grow, it's going to grow. The truth that you've received here, I'm sure this is a good church. The truth that you've received here, God wants everyone to know this. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Amen. I mean, there you can already see where I'm going with that. It's not up to God to grow life of faith. It's up to you. Okay? It's not up to marketing. It's up to evangelism. So if God wants your church to grow, it'll grow. It isn't true. God isn't the one preventing life of faith from growing. Dot, dot, dot. You are. We are preventing the church from growing as Christians. You know, when we realized this back home, I mean, we started moving into more and more evangelism. Stop saying, "You know, God, please send the people," because God sent us to go to the people, to bring the people. That's true. So evangelism and discipleship are how the church grow. There we go. You got Matthew 28, Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And then you got Ephesians chapter 4, you know. It's showing us a responsibility first in Matthew 28, but then in Ephesians chapter 4, what do you have? He gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Jesus doesn't do the ministry. It's his power. The saints do the ministry. No ministry happens without you. Yes, there's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not denying that. But what I'm trying to show you is that the Holy Spirit works through you. I remember being in a leadership meeting a couple of years back. It was one of those fun meetings where you have different opinions coming up. And we had a small minority in the group saying things like, we were focusing on how can we reach more people? How can we disciple the people that we've got more? And we were discussing that. And I remember someone bringing up the idea and someone else, seconding the idea and it just going around the room a little bit. But the idea was, if Jesus, what was it? We need to stop building the church because Jesus said he'll build his church. I was like, who's Jesus' body? If you and I are his body, he's going to build the church through us. That's right. You know, the chair didn't put itself there. Someone put it there. That was helping to build the church. Everything we're experiencing right now didn't happen by accident. If you believe that it did, then you're worse off than you thought. We've got God is a God who's a God of order, a God is precision. I mean, He created the universe, He spoke, He set things in place, and you know, it's just amazing, but it didn't just happen from a big bang. I'm sure it was a big bang when He spoke and said, "Let there be light." I'm sure it was very noisy. But the point is that everything happened purposefully. It wasn't by accident. The chair that you're sitting on is there purposefully. It's not just haphazardly there and you were like, "Wow, this is amazing how everything fell into place." Things are happening for a purpose. You know, and we're part of that, building the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, the Passion Translation says, "You are the body of the Anointed One, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. You are a part of you are the body of the Anointed One, the body of Christ, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it." Now, this is speaking to every Christian and saying that every believer is a part of the body of Christ worldwide. Every one of us. But this applies to us here at Life of Faith as well. That every single one of us is an important part of the body. Every single one of us is a unique and vital part of the body. We've got something of value to add. God didn't just create you empty. He created you full of His fullness. And He's put special gifts and abilities inside of you to add value to the whole. Part of your purpose as a believer, as a person, is to discover what's inside of you. That's why I love the Connect classes, because that's what it's there to accomplish, is to help you discover what God's put inside of you so that you can start letting it out and helping to build the kingdom. Not just Life of Faith, but helping to build the kingdom of God. If you're not helping to build the kingdom of God, then you need to get discipled. Maybe saved first, but then you need to get discipled. You need to start becoming established in the truth. Because when the more you mature in Christ, the more you're going to want to do for God. Not because you want to be accepted by Him, but because you realize how accepted you are by Him. The more you come to realize how much God loves you, you're not going to be doing things trying to get something from Him, get approval, get blessing, or whatever. You're going to be like, "Wow, I'm just in response to God, I have to do something." You know, you move to have to be involved, to have to do something, because God is just so awesome. You can't sit still. So use your gifts. Use what God's put inside of you. You know, but they don't do what I'm gifted in. You know, you might be thinking, sitting there thinking, "But I'm gifted at X, Y, and Z. How can that be of benefit to the church?" Well, I don't know, because I don't know what your X, Y, and Z is. But ask. Ask, because there's something inside of you to help build the church. God's not going to do it by Himself. He's waiting on you to step out. If I didn't come up here and start speaking, nothing would have happened. Someone else would have had to speak. God isn't controlling my mouth right now. He's inspiring me to speak, and I'm saying things. But He doesn't control you. He doesn't force you to step out of the boat and walk on the water. But you'll never walk on the water unless you step out the boat. So there's a part for us to play, and it's just trusting God and stepping out. Now, you might be sitting there going, "But I don't want to step out. I'm scared." That's fine. Don't try and force it. I would say just focus on Jesus. Grow as a believer, mature, and there'll be an overflow eventually. If there's no overflow, then there's no inflow. Then you're sitting there with your ears shut. You're not receiving, your heart is closed. But if you're receiving something, there has to eventually be an outflow. Like, you want to give, you want to lead a life group or a home group or whatever you call it. You want to start ministering to people. You want to start reaching out. You have to share this good news with people, because it's impacted you so much. I mean, that's our testimony. I remember having a revelation of grace, and I could not keep it to myself. One of the results of that was a church, which is now 5 churches, 4 in South Africa and 1 in Eastern Europe, all because I couldn't keep quiet about the goodness of God. And I had to tell someone. I had to help people get to this revelation of grace. So, Yeah, you know, I mean, even just giving, we're all called to give. I'm glad I can say this because it's maybe difficult for the pastor of a church to say to your church. But think about it. Through our giving, we're helping to build the church. Often we're kind of like, well, yeah, I don't know why the church isn't growing, or we start complaining or criticizing because things aren't happening the way we think that they should happen. And most times it's because we're not doing our part. Whether that's using our gifting or whether that's a giving. We're all called to give and be part of. You're not exempt. Give of our time, our talents, and our treasure. So Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 again. And our own completeness is now found in Him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. So you've got gifts inside of you. You're full of God. You need to let Him out. There's it's like rivers of living water within us which want to flow out of us. We've got to let it flow. Let it flow. Don't hold back anymore. Some of you picked up on the song there, I'm sure. Not let it go, let it flow. 1 Corinthians 14:32. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. You know, so this isn't just talking about prophecy, it's any gift. So like in the service, you know, some of you are receiving words of knowledge and words of prophecy and encouragement and others are not being blessed in the service because you're sitting there holding back. Or you just walk into church, you see someone, or even on the street or at Starbucks or something, and you're like, you just want to encourage someone, and you don't. You're stealing from that individual. When you're not using your gift, when you're not giving finances to the church, you're stealing from the church. And I'm not talking about just money part of it. I'm just saying we're losing out and you're losing out. You're losing out of the blessing of being involved, and we're losing out of the blessing of you being involved because we're part of one another. And part of maturity is realizing that and stepping into that. Part of maturity, you know, it's impossible for there to be a mature believer apart from a local church, I believe. I've never seen that. I've seen people try and do that. The one thing, I don't know if this is offensive, so if it is, just forgive me. And it wouldn't be offensive back home. But one of the things that social media has done is it's given the village idiot a voice. And so I've been holding back on actually posting something on this on Facebook, but you've got people just with thousands of followers who should never have anyone following them because they've attracted all the outcasts from around the world who agree with them, and all of a sudden it's given validity to what they're saying. And just doesn't make sense. Judge the person according to their fruit. They may have a couple followers, even hundreds, even thousands around the world. But just figure out, like, what are they actually, is there something tangible that's backing them up? Sometimes I look on Facebook and I'm like, I didn't know I liked this page, and then I unlike it. I don't know how that happens sometimes, that sometimes I just like things that I don't like. It's like, I don't know, maybe I clicked on it by accident. You know, thousands of people could click on the same person by accident, I'm sure. It wasn't the sovereignty of God either. So we got to realize that we got to look at who you're receiving from.
That's right.
Don't just receive from someone because they've got good PR.
Yeah, that's good.
Their podcast sounds really great. You know, it's got, I like them, their branding. They've got 10,000 people following them on Facebook. But back in their hometown, no one wants to know them. And I know that a prophet is without honor in their hometown, but they should have some kind of tangible fruit somewhere. Long-lasting. Not that they went to a place and 1,000 people gathered to hear what they had to say. Let's see if they were to be in the same place for a long period of time, would they be able to have consistency in the fruitfulness?
Yeah.
Not just a hit and run. So, we've all got something of value to add. We had this one guy in our church. He really is awesome, and he's got a lot to give. He did our Bible school. He went through it and all that. And then he wanted to have coffee with me the one day. So we had coffee. And he says, you know, Shane, I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you and Grace Life have done for me. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I'm going to be leaving. And I'm going to be going over to such and such a church. If I said the name, you'd all know it. It's a world-renowned church. And, you know, because God's put it in my heart to be part of music ministry. And they've invited me to be part of the music ministry there. And that's really what God's put inside of me. And then he mentioned another ministry which they've got, which we don't. And he said, God's put that in me. And I know I need to go and be part of that. And you know what I said to him? I said, well, firstly, if God's leading you on, I'm not going to stop you. So, you know, it's been great to have you for 6 years or whatever it is, but, you know, go and be blessed. If you ever feel God leading you back, you're welcome back. But can I just say one thing? It's like, you know that we don't have a worship team. We're using MP3s at the moment. So we've been praying for someone to come along who can help start the worship team. It could have been you, maybe, but you're leaving. That other ministry, I've been trusting that someone would come along and start that up as well, because I believe it's an evangelistic kind of ministry. And I said, God put that in you for us, but now you're going somewhere else to add value there, yes, but maybe you were supposed to help us start that. And he said, well, yeah, I feel God's called me there. So I was like, no, go, I'm not holding you back. Just thought I'd tell you that we've been trusting for someone like you. What's inside of you that's lacking here? We often look and say, well, you know, that's missing, or that's missing, or that's missing. But the person sitting next to you, or you yourself, are the one that should be adding that value. You know, we've got to realize that we've all got a part to play. You know, we're responding to the grace that God's put inside of us. He's put something inside of you to add value to the whole. But sometimes we're so self-centered that we can't see it. So we need to start releasing what God's put inside of us. Amen? There's a wellspring of a blessing inside of you for us. It's not just for you. God, you know, how many of you believe that you've got a gift? Hey, every one of you have got a gift. The rest of you liars didn't put up your hand. But the point is, here's a revelation. That gift isn't for you. Imagine I have the gift of prophecy. I'm at home. I'm standing in front of the mirror. I'm just like, thus saith the Lord. Good morning, good looking. You're just awesome. The Lord's going to use you. You're powerful. Like, I mean, you encourage yourself in the Lord, but let it move from there to ministering to other people. I mean, you got the gift of teaching and you're just at home sitting in front of the mirror, teaching yourself. That's great, but let it move on into teaching others as well. There needs to be an overflow.
That's right.
You can't just shepherd. You have to shepherd yourself first, but you need to shepherd other people if you're called to be a shepherd. Make sure you're shepherding yourself first, obviously. But the point is the gift that we receive, the gift of administration, the gift of encouragement, all these gifts are for us to be able to be a blessing to the church. And the reason why the church, by and large, isn't where it should be is because most of us are sitting on our blessed assurance doing nothing. We're not partaking in what God's called us to. But we do believe God's called us to do X, Y, and Z. I'm called to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, or whatever. And so I'm using that gift and I'm going out there and I'm using my gift as a just picking on the teacher, so I'm not being particular, but I'm called to be a teacher, so I'm being a blessing by using my gift of school teacher out there. That's awesome. God did wire you in a specific way to do something like that, but if it's not reaching people and helping them come from darkness to light, saved, and when it's not establishing them in the truth, you're missing it. Yes, go and be your doctor, lawyer, teacher, nurse, whatever. Awesome. But you need to be part of the kingdom.
That's right.
We need to take the kingdom of God into those areas. Yes. But we need to also realize that it's not just about doing something. It's about reaching people.
That's right.
Use the gift. Do what God's wired you to do. That's awesome. One of our elders at one stage, I mean, he was He's passed on since this, but he was one of the top gynecologists in the area. And I mean, he was renowned. And he would sit and minister to people when they came in wanting an abortion, or when they came in and they found out they were pregnant and needed some encouragement or whatever. He was ministering in his workplace as much as he could, but then he was also in church ministering. And I mean, the week, you know, he died a week before he was scheduled to preach. but the point is, he was using his gift. You know, we serve tea and coffee after the service, and in our churches we that's a large part of our ministry. And you know, people do that with the gift of hospitality. They help people feel welcome. And then we've got some people who their gift is just giving. So they're gifted to go and make money and they bring it in, so that the church can do more, so we can reach more people. We've all got something of value to add. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. So I trust that this stirs you up to hear from God as to how has He wired me? What is inside of me that I can let out? And then start to partake. And we're going to practice this in a moment. Because some of you, the gift is, you know how to hear God's voice. You know how to hear a word. And so I just want to give a few minutes just to allow that. So Alan, you can come up. And let's just stand together for a moment. Father, we just thank you for your presence, which is here right now. We thank you that we are your plan to reach people. We are your plan to grow the church. We are your plan to impact the world, because it's your power in us and through us. And we right now acknowledge that we are full of you, Father. We are full of Jesus. We are full of Jesus. And we just right now call forth those streams of living water that are within us to flow from within us out in Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're revealing to people what you've placed inside of them, the gifts that they have, the unique abilities, that you reveal to them what their part is in your kingdom, Father, because every single one of us is called to be a significant part of the kingdom. The foot is needed in the body. The eye is needed in the body. The baby toe is needed in the body. You can't see your liver, but you need it. Every part of the body is important. Thank you, Father, that you don't just sovereignly move to force what's inside of us out of us, but you've sovereignly put in us what's in us. And we right now choose to respond to you, Father. We choose to respond to you and say, Father, help us to step out. We know that you're not fulfilling our destiny. We fulfill the destiny that you've given us. Help us to rise up and be all that you've created us to be. Help us to die empty, having given everything that you've placed inside of us. Thank you that you've called us all to the ministry of reconciliation. You've called us all to be ambassadors for Christ, with a message of reconciliation, of helping people be reunited with you and start to walk in and experience the abundant life. If you pray in the Spirit, just begin to pray in the Spirit and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and reveal things to you. And Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence here. We welcome you now. We just say, Jesus, be glorified in this time together right now. Thank you for the gift of encouragement to flow in this place. Thank you that you haven't just given it to one person to stand on a platform and to use that gift so that all attention is on them, but you've given it to many in the body of Christ so that we can minister to each other. Just focus on Jesus, and in your heart, just glorify Him. We glorify you, Jesus. You are awesome. We love you. We thank you that you're not holding anything against us. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our sin from us. You are no longer remembering our sin and our transgression. We are completely forgiven, completely accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your amazing grace. I just have a sense that there's someone, you've got pain all along the one side of your body. If that's you, just raise your hand where you are. If you've got pain all along one side of your body, and right now in the name of Jesus, with the hands that are raised, I command every bit of pain to leave now by the authority of Jesus. You're not welcome. You must leave. Whatever damage there is, we command restoration and wholeness into your body now in Jesus' name. We speak life and wholeness to manifest now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I just have a sense that it might be a couple of people again that it's just like, it feels like you're just hitting a brick wall with your business. And it just seems like no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, it just seems like there's just this constant resistance and just nothing is working. And it's even been keeping you up at night. You've been worrying about that. I just feel the Lord saying, just rest in Him. It's finished. It's done. Yes. That barrier or that wall is right now just removed supernaturally. And you're going to see things work out in an unexpected way. Thank you, Father. Now the Word says if someone brings a word, we should judge it according to the Scripture. And so if there's anyone who has a word or you feel God just speaking something, then I want to encourage you to come up, but realize that we love you, and if it's wrong, we'll tell you and encourage you in that. Is there anyone here, you just feel something on your heart? Must I re-preach the message? Guy?
Many of you know that Friday I buried my baby sister. Her name was Cecilia. And we had the service in a Catholic church according to her wishes. And right in the middle of the service, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I think this is not just an encouragement to me, but maybe if you've lost someone, or you've got a friend or a relative that you're worried about what it's like for them now, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Cecilia said she never dreamed it was going to be this wonderful. So that put my heart at ease that the God that's goodness is His essence is going to take care of us whether we're here or there. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Someone else? Even if you have a scripture on your mind, this is my beautiful wife.
I just felt like there might be so many reasons why we're kind of holding back into stepping out and allowing God to use us to love other people. And it's almost like God saying, it doesn't matter if you're scared. It doesn't matter if it feels overwhelming. It doesn't matter if you don't want to go out and prophesy on the street corners right now to every single living, breathing thing who can hear. God is just saying, just give me what you got. If all you can give me now is a baby step, just give me that. He reminded me of where Jesus was trying to feed the 5,000 and the disciples were running around and freaking out. And the little boy came with just, you know, this little lunch that he had. And Jesus was like, you know, just give me that. So don't feel like God's asking more than you can give. He's just saying, you know, just give me what you've got.
That's good.
And watch what I do with that. Think about, and the Holy Spirit can help you with this. Ask Him to remind you of once when He's been faithful to you through someone else. When you've been in a difficult place and there was someone who said something or did something or even just gave you something, and it was the right thing at the right time, and you knew it was God, and it impacted you and it made you feel loved and reassured. You can be that for someone. Not because you're wonderful or anything like that, but you are. But because God just wants to love others through you. And it's not difficult. He's just asking you to give Him what you've got. Even if it's just a baby step, even if it's 2 minutes, even if it's just telling someone He loves them, just give Him what you've got.
Awesome. Thank you, love. Cynthia, I had this word for you yesterday, and I didn't get to give it to you, but I really just feel the Lord saying, you're on the right path, and there's going to be opportunities to deviate, but God's just saying, stick to the path. Stick to what you know that He's called you to, and you're doing well, so just keep going. Is there someone here with the name of Courtney? Any Courtney? This morning, I just had this name on my heart a lot, Courtney. Someone who knows a Courtney. Sorry? Live stream, that's true, I forgot. I just felt with the name Courtney that it's just like there's someone you really just troubled. I don't know if it's about Courtney or if it's someone who, you know, if you're Courtney that you're troubled, but God's just saying, just trust Him, just keep looking to Him. Just see like clouds of demonic just surrounding that individual, and God's just like His Spirit is just blowing those clouds away because of the prayers that have been released over that individual. You know, if that means something to you, then please don't keep it to yourself. Come up and share it with me afterwards.
Very interesting. I haven't thought about Courtney in many years. My ex-husband is his niece, and she went through her parents divorcing. I don't even know where she is at this point. So as the Lord has brought her name forth, it's knowing what I know about her family situation, I know she needs prayer. And she would be probably I guess maybe in her 30s at this point. So and then secondly, as you were sharing, so much confirmation. I have three sons, one's in the military. He's had three deployments. One is a police officer. Sure. One was healed of cancer when he was 29.
Sure.
The month after he was diagnosed with B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, it was actually 3 months after the diagnosis, their baby boy was born November 13th of 2006, and he passed away April 30th of 2007. He was born with a birth defect. Subsequently, my son Clan and his wife went to Haiti, and in their grief, They met a little boy named Nelson at an orphanage. And now Nelson is a part of their family. So God will use your grief. God will use the things in the midst of whatever you're going through. And in the season, you know, of my life right now, you know, my three sons are, you know, in situations in their life where, you know, I'm divorced and I'm by myself, and God places Abby and JT two doors down. And anyone, you know, who understands what loneliness is and feeling so unloved and so forgotten about, sometimes we even forget the Lord. So sometimes we even forget the Lord. And that's what I've learned, is don't forget the Lord. And I thank the Lord for Abby. I thank the Lord for JT. And God will heal.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, Father, we just want to thank you, firstly, that you're sending laborers across Courtney's path, people who can witness to her and help her and support her and reveal the truth to her. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're ministering to her heart right now, that you're revealing Jesus. We just speak a release of revelation of your love and your goodness to her. That whatever demonic clouds there are, which are just holding her back and holding her down, they're just lifted now as she sees a revelation of your goodness and your love in the name of Jesus. We declare protection over her. We declare safety. And we thank you, Father, right now, that something great is going to happen in her life. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I was really just encouraged by that testimony because we're called to be the body. If someone's lonely in a church, it's because the church isn't being the church. And that's really an encouragement. We're called to be family to one another. It's not just an organization, an institution where we come to encourage one another and go off and do life by ourselves. But we're called to do life together. And so I want to encourage you to be family to someone. You know, try and reach out and connect with someone that you haven't connected with, who's not like you. We tend to kind of draw to people that are like us. Connect with someone who's not like you, who kind of lives in a different area even. And be family to each other. Amen. And someone got one last word? John.
Two things. That she brought up large B-cell lymphoma. That this week, 5 years ago, I was given a death date. I was supposed to die this week, 5 years ago, of that very same thing. And God completely healed me. So I'm so thankful for his finished work concerning that. Because here I stand before you, 5 years after. The best in the medical profession in Birmingham told me I wouldn't be here.
Wow.
And secondly, God said this to me last week when I was here in the service and Mark was talking about gifts, and he wanted me to tell you that you are his gift. Don't mistake the gift for its expression, but the expression of his gift, which you are, is necessary. A gift is nothing unless it is presented, and he is asking you to present yourself as his gift to this world, as his gift to each other.
Amen. So this week when someone says, who do you think you are? You can say, I'm God's gift to the world. I think that's good. That's a good word. For God so loved Birmingham that he sent you. I mean, just think about that. For God so loved wherever you're from that he sent you there. Jesus already came and went. He's done what he's done so we can do what we should do. So now, for God so loved wherever you're from that he sent you to make an impact, to be a conduit of his blessing, of his love, of his favor. God loves us through each other. We're his body. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you that we can just receive your love, yes, by the Spirit, but through each other. That we can be conduits of your blessing to one another. Thank you, Father, that we can just enjoy and experience your presence, but we can also be that presence to others. And I thank you that this week we're going to have such a great time just loving on each other, just going out into all the world to help people to experience your love through us. And for those who are still in a place of needing to experience your love or know your love, I thank you, Father, that you reveal to them by the Holy Spirit, which gushes forth the love of God in our hearts, that you reveal to them the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of that awesome love. Let's just finish off the service like that. Just close your eyes, lift up your hands, and Holy Spirit, we just invite you now that those rivers of living water would just refresh us. That would just rise up within us and strengthen us in your love. That your love would just begin to flow from within us. Revitalize every part of our bodies. Faith works by love. It's agape. faith works by God's kind of love. So as we focus our attention on you, Father, we thank you that our faith is working, that healing is flowing in our bodies, that everything is working together for our good. Not because, you know, we're trying to get something or get a result, but because we are focusing on your love. We're experiencing your love. We just choose to meditate and focus on your unconditional love and grace. Your love, which is without any condition. Thank you, Father, that you don't love us the way we should be, but you love us the way that we are. Wow, thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. So, in closing, I did mention that we're part of the church, so that's why we give. So I want to encourage you to be part of the church through your giving. Be generous. Yeah, I'm not exempt from it just because I'm speaking. I'm generous towards the church, and while we're here, we're going to be generous towards Life of Faith. Not because you guys are hosting us and looking after us in any way, but because we're part of this family and we want to be a blessing to it. All of us are called to help, you know, the church go farther than it is. So I want to encourage you to give and to give generously. Amen. Awesome.